Hi, my name is Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board certified urologist with expertise in sexual health, hormonal health, and genitourinary health. And I ran into Karina Hughes right outside the restroom and said, I must interview you today. So I have Karina here. Would you mind giving us a brief introduction?
Yes, Karina Hughes, practicing in Rochester, Minnesota at Mayo Clinic. My background is I pursued my urology APP fellowship at Mayo Clinic, and since then I practice in an outpatient setting and I'm performing some outpatient procedures.
So this is the first time that we've met in person, but we each follow each other on Instagram
Social
and
media
support each
engagement.
other. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about why you started your Instagram page? Because you do a ton of education. Who is your audience and what are you trying to tell them?
So I first started a page back in 2020. I was looking into urology APP fellowships. I finished my doctorate degree. I knew I wanted to go into urology, but I wanted some procedural aspect and to really dive into all the subspecialties of urology because there are a lot. It's a
There
lot to learn at
are.
once, right? So I've seen that there are a lot of urology APP fellowships, but not a lot of reference of someone going through a fellowship on social media, research. I just didn't see a lot out there. So at the
Really quick, in your training, how much do they go into the opportunities for fellowships or specialization?
minimal. I don't think it was mentioned too much at all. I think it depends on the institute that you graduate from and how much they support that. But boy, fellowships have definitely came a long way since I started. Back in 2020, I think there were 4 to 5 APP fellowships. Currently, there are 15 urology APP fellowships in the nation. So when I started the journey in 2020, I wanted to document it, connect with others. So I was able to connect with other urology physicians, some APPs, and it definitely has grown since that time where now I'm able to connect with like a novice APP, someone that's been experienced in the years, for years in urology. And if I'm able to give some insight into education or even bring a little humor along the way, because urology has a lot of humor to be provided. So it's been a good journey.
I love that. So what is your message to people who are finishing up their training, whether they're physician assistants or nurse practitioners? What's your message if someone is like, should I do a fellowship? Should I not do a fellowship? What would you tell that person?
I would say it's not a have to, never have to. However, I find, especially within subspecialties, and you're going into training, and depending on the support and leadership that you have through that institute, that's a good question to ask. Where do you want to go? Is the support there? Because I'll tell you, if it's not, a fellowship can bring a lot of foundation. You have a year, 12-month long fellowship, and you become a little aware of every subspecialty. Obviously, you're not like the expert in the field, but it's supportive. And at least you can move forward in knowing that, okay, this was given to me. I feel comfortable in my next step.
You know, when I think back to my fellowship and I was deciding, like you, whether or not I wanted to do a fellowship and I wasn't really sure. Looking back now, it seems so obvious. Yes, why it's 1 year, you know, why wouldn't I do a fellowship? And what I encourage people really at any sort of level of training or any, whether they're, PAs, NPs, or, urologists, my urology colleagues, is think about how do you keep as many doors open as possible,
Absolutely.
right? And doing a fellowship will only open doors. It won't close any doors. And so now you said, wow, there are like 14 or 15 fellowships. That's amazing.
15,
So what are your suggestions? How should people find out more about the programs? And what questions should they be asking themselves to determine if that program might be right for them? What do you think?
Well, I think there's a lot more marketing for urology EPP fellowships now versus whenever I was first looking into. And I think there's some perspectives of depending on the fellowship, your training may be a little bit different. So when you're looking at a fellowship, some fellowships may offer for cyst training. Some may offer cystoscopy training, and some may not offer any, but if you like where the location is, or you know that, oh, the leadership here, I know I can definitely grow. I mean, it's definitely worth looking into and asking some of those questions. And who is going to be walking you throughout the way? Are you mostly APPs? Are the physicians collaborating with the fellowship too? Because I had a little bit of both, and boy, that made it a great experience, especially when I transitioned, and now I work in the place my fellowship was.
So I know at Mayo, the advanced practice providers are very hands-on with procedures. So,
Absolutely.
Karina, walk us through a typical day in your life.
It definitely has changed. So at the end of my fellowship, I was able to do cystoscopies. I was able to dive into prostate ultrasounds, and through the leadership of Dr. Lomas, who started our transperineal prostate biopsy clinic back in 2019, he took me on board after my fellowship, and a lot of my orientation afterwards was practicing within his practice and learning how to do these MRI fusion targeted biopsies.
Wow.
So my day-to-day does look a little bit different. I practice independently. There's also a collaborative team model where I work alongside Dr. Cooper, Dr. Omis, or, you know, the surgeon that I'm working with. Or I can also be like in a cystoscopy clinic or in our transperineal prostate biopsy clinic in the afternoon where on the hour we're doing prostate biopsies.
I love that. Variety is a spice of life, right?
And preventing burnout. I think we have we have 25 advanced practice providers with us. So there's a lot of support with that. And it does help prevent burnout just because we're able to do so many different things. There's not just clinic. And not that that's bad.
Yeah.
But it does. Some variety is always nice in the day.
Yeah. I've done some interviews before with well-known people in our field, Dr. Kaplan, Dr. Loeb. And my hypothesis, Karina, was that when it comes to burnout and happiness within our careers, it's not this discussion of like between work-life balance. It's balance within our work life.
Absolutely.
And I think that's exactly what you're touching on, is being able to do procedures, being able to do clinic. I mean, that's why urologists go into the field to begin with. We get that. So why would we assume that anyone that with whom we work in our clinic will be satisfied with doing the same thing every day?
Right. And, you know, not all institutes allow APPs to practice in the procedural world.
Yeah.
And understand, it does take an engaged leadership team and to have that mentor throughout that. And if you don't have that support, then that can be difficult. But not only that, but having a collaborative care team that is supportive of APPs can go a long way. Practices may only have one to two APPs and they may feel siloed just because they're by themselves.
Yeah.
I can say the physicians that I do work with, we are very collaborative, and I have a lot of comfort with them. And that also can reduce burnout, just having a good team. And I know that's very simply said, but boy, if you can just communicate, converse with the providers that you're working with, it can make clinic day a lot easier.
Seems like Mayo's figured it out.
We have a good plan. Yeah, we have a good.
So we're at the AUA now in Las Vegas. And you mentioned that you've attended a lot of the APP sessions. How many AUAs have you been to?
This is my second national AUA.
Okay, gotcha. In terms of the programming, there are a lot of sessions specifically for APPs,
yes.
But that's more of a new thing. How does that make you feel in terms of like your role within urology and in terms of the support? Does that make a difference to see all this programming?
Absolutely. I think whenever you see the word APP on something, especially coming in as a some of our novice APPs coming in, I've met with a lot that, hey, this is my first AUA. I just started this job.
It can be overwhelming.
Yes. And if you're able to use our, like the AUA media app or the AUA app and just type in APP and know that, okay, this session is dedicated to me. It can give me the tools that I need to move forward. And not only novice, you know, no matter where you're at, it definitely can kind of spear up, hey, this education is developed for me and I know I can get something out of this.
Yeah.
And as you continue moving on throughout, I mean, you may be involved in different organizations like SUFU, you know, and attend some of their meetings, but it's definitely a great starting point. Like one of the discussions that we had is the new microscopic hematuria guidelines. And hey, no matter if you're novice or you're more, I guess, an expert in the field, hey, these are updated guidelines that just came out. Like, this is a great session for us to kind of refresh.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And I know from the AUA perspective, a big push of theirs is to engage advanced practice providers.
Absolutely.
So I can only see that the program is going to get even better in the future. So that's very exciting. Where can viewers find you on Instagram?
Absolutely. I'm reaching out to me anytime, and you can find me at Euro Nurse Practitioner on Instagram, LinkedIn, Karina Hughes, or on Twitter, Karina S. Hughes.
Awesome. So if you're an APP or you're interested in training to become an APP, or you're someone who just wants to see how do you educate people on social media, check her out.
Please do.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.